Boom shakalaka!
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Daily Double Up, the only podcast better than the Dolphins are at losing. My name's Jordan. Sitting across from me is Mitch. You know what it is. We're your best spot for all things daily fantasy football. Mitch, how you doing, buddy?
What's good, boy?
Hey, boy. Dude, how was your week one? We've officially made it through week one of the NFL season. How'd you do?
It was terrible. It was absolutely awful. Lost in both my leagues. Lost in DFS and our head-to-head.
Oh, boy, did you lose in DFS.
By a lot.
Oh, man.
I hope you guys didn't take my advice. I really hope you didn't.
Oh, man. We'll get to that head-to-head among a bunch of other things. We got a good show lined up for you, but we got a couple of pieces of business to take care of first. First of all, you can go find us on Twitter at DoubleUpDFS. Please go follow us. Check it out. We got some good content going over there. Mitch is going to be getting wet because he lost last week's head-to-head, so go over there, give us a follow, and watch that video because that'll be coming out soon. Also, make sure to go to wherever you're listening to this podcast, be it iTunes, be it Spotify, be it both. Go over there, please subscribe, leave us a review. We would appreciate it and love you forever for it.
Yeah. Yeah, we sure will. Forever and ever.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, Mo, since we're through week one, I thought something would be fun to do is kind of go back and look at some of the calls we got right and some of the things we might have got wrong from our first show. I've got one that I can go ahead and start here with if you want to start with what we got right. I'm going to toot my own horn a little bit when it comes to the Josh Allen, John Brown stack. Feel like I took a little bit of a risk on that one, or I had to convince you a little bit at least. But they combined for 48.26 fantasy points. So it wasn't bad from both of them. It wasn't looking good for about three quarters or so.
I think you had texted me around beginning of the third, and you're like, I need this to happen. Why is it not happening? And then it just exploded after that. It went off.
Ironically, it was not looking good until exactly what I predicted happened, and one big play from Josh Allen to John Brown actually happened. So Josh Allen's stat line was pretty good. He went 24 for 37 with 254 and a touchdown, and actually rushed for 38 yards and another touchdown, which always helps your stat line when you're Josh Allen. And then John Brown had 7 receptions for 123 and that long touchdown that I talked about earlier. So I actually had a really good week. I ended up having a $5 week, which, again, if you missed last week, I played with a really small $10 budget. So having a $5 week for me was quite good. And I used this Josh Allen, John Brown stack in most of my lineups, and it paid off pretty well for me.
Heck yeah, it did.
Mitch, what did you get?
Sorry,
right,
I'm trying to avoid the E tag. It almost came out.
That was close.
Heckin' yeah.
Heckin' yeah. Mitch, what'd you get right in week one, dude?
The mailman, Mark Andrews.
Oh yeah.
8 for 108 and a touchdown. Not only did he get 8 receptions, he caught all 8 of his targets too. So he's getting high volume. He's catching all his targets. If you're looking for a strong fantasy play in across any format, volume is a great metric to look at. It's a great unit to look at because volume means more opportunity. More opportunity means more chance for success. And he got it in a very favorable matchup against the worst football team to ever walk the face of the earth, the Miami Dolphins. 13.5 yards of reception. And again, the big kicker is the touchdown. So a great showing out from Mark Andrews. And I think, and again, this week, he is still very cheap amongst tight ends in DFS. And we'll go over that a little bit later in the show. But he's going to be continue to be a value, I think for a while here. And he's just, he showed out in week one.
Yeah, dude, that whole Baltimore team showed out in week one. That was a slaughtering of all slaughterings. I really think if they really wanted to, they could have put up like 80-plus points in that game. And just
Lamar Jackson owners must have been just going wild.
Oh, dude, going if he wild. Is not the most popular quarterback for DFS purposes in week two, I'm going to eat my shoe. Like, he has to be. It's
mm-hmm. I think there's one more. Pat Mahomes against Oakland is going to be a really
I actually think Pat Mahomes against Oakland is not going to be as popular. We can talk about that in a little bit. Okay. But, yeah, dude, that Baltimore team was absolutely insane in week one. Let me ask you this. Are you still how do I want to say this? Is your love for Mark Andrews separate from matchup? So, for instance, Mark Andrews and the entire Baltimore team absolutely balled out against the Dolphins. They have Arizona coming up this week in week two, which is another super favorable matchup. I don't know how else you could describe it. But let's say down the road, Baltimore has some tougher matchups. Are you still, would you still be comfortable riding the mailman train, or would you be jumping off and looking a different direction?
Right now, if I could fall in love with a fantasy player, it would be Mark Andrews.
Wow, no kidding.
I love this guy's skill set. I mean, he's a big dude, 6'5", 256, and a receiving tight end. How can you not love that? And when you have that big of a target, of course he's going to get looks, especially in the red zone. Tight ends tend to be favored in the red zone, and big bodies in general tend to be favored in the red zone when quarterbacks throw the football, and Mark Andrews is both a tight end and a big body. You look at his next three his next two matchups, really, Arizona, then Kansas City, both very bad defenses. So at least for the next 2 weeks, I love this guy. But if there's one guy I could fall in love with, it's going to be this guy.
Yeah, and listen, you made a good point earlier. DraftKings pricing didn't catch up yet. I mean, Mark Andrews is still only $3,800 for this week on DraftKings.
Yeah, it's up from last week, but still, I don't think it's quite as high as it should be. I think people should be paying more for Mark Andrews.
Still very, very affordable. And hey, let's not forget, he's the mailman, so he delivers for fantasy purposes, baby.
You want your stuff on time, you just give Mark a call. He delivers.
Move out of the way, Amazon. Mark Andrews is coming through. All right, so those are what we got right. Now let's move on to the depressing part of the podcast. What did we get wrong? Mitch, why don't you go ahead and start us off with what you got wrong last week?
Oh, Miles Sanders.
Oh.
He was cock-a-poo-poo. It was really bad. I mean, look at his stats from last week. 11 rushing attempts for only 25 yards. Just an atrocious first week. And even through the air, which I think was something I really praised him on going into week one. And he had one reception for 2 yards on two targets. He was really not much of a factor in this offense, not as big of a factor as I thought he was going to be. He still got a lot of time to do this. And we see this a lot, especially with rookies. They're going to struggle in week one. Some break out in week one, but most struggle to start. And I think we're seeing that with Miles Sanders right now. He's got some matchups that might be a little bit that might continue to be more on the favorable side. He's got Atlanta coming up. I know you love Detroit's front seven, but he might find a way to make it happen there. Then he's got Green Bay, who's the secondary's great. Front seven's a little bit suspect, so he might have the opportunities here in the next few weeks to break out and have that performance. But as far as week one goes, yeah, I missed way wide right.
Yeah, both Miles Sanders and David Montgomery both had the same effect on fantasy owners' hearts in week one. I think the hype was built so high that a lot of fantasy owners just kind of slammed them into their lineups, and DFS owners as well just purchased them for their pretty low prices. And yeah, I don't know what happened production-wise, but a lot of the game script, I mean, coach speak, excitement, whatever, everything looked like these guys, both Miles Sanders and David Montgomery, just because it's a similar case, looked really good for fantasy purposes, and then we got down to game time, and it's like, where are these guys? They just kind of disappeared. So
I think what it is they have this perception of, oh, man, they had this great camp, and yeah, the coaches are really talking about using them a lot, and they – and I think you and I are both guilty of it. We just expect them to, you know, just swan dive into week one and be fully involved and to get 30 touches.
We've been so spoiled by rookie running backs as of late.
And I think Saquon Barkley was the ultimate, you know, spoiling. Like,
and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
And Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. I mean, there's got these guys that did go headfirst into the waters and swam. But Miles Sanders and David Montgomery, though they're great players and they're going to be great NFL players, I think, they're just not going to get that type of opportunity. I think they're going to take some time to work themselves into the game plan. This was very evident in this first week.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's going to be a point in time where Miles Sanders and David Montgomery both are going to be just crazy fantasy assets. We're just going to have to wait longer than we thought we were going to see it.
Patience. So. Got to have patience, I think.
Yep. Don't buy into the hype too early. Moral of the story, guys. What I got wrong was Damian Williams.
Ugh, trash.
I trashed Damian Williams last week, and I think for justifiable reason. LeSean McCoy came over. A lot of the things I said involved LeSean McCoy, and just we didn't know what the usage was going to be, and it just looked like kind of a yucky situation for Damian Williams' price point. And then Damian Williams came out and ended up being completely fine for fantasy purposes. He rushed the ball 13 times for 26 yards, which is not good, I want to point out. So I got this half right. But he also had a touchdown. Where he made his fantasy numbers are off 6 receptions for 39 yards. So Shady came in, did eat up some carries. Damian Williams didn't rush the ball especially well, but Damian Williams was still the pass-catching running back and kind of ate his lunch in that way. So, man, I got that one wrong. I sat him in our Dynasty League and week-long fantasy. I sat him in basically everywhere I had him. I didn't use him in DFS, and I had a couple of guys finish above me in my DFS lineups because they had Damian Williams. So felt double bad. Was not a good week for me and Damian Williams.
Yeah, Damian Williams is a complete disappointment. I do a segment on the Sports Hour that I just debuted this week called The Pit of Misery. And I think that Damian Williams is totally worthy of being in the pit of misery and of fantasy.
So you're still off Damian Williams?
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
Is that because of how poorly he rushed the ball, or where are you at as far as he goes? Because apparently he's still a focal point of the passing game, so I don't know if that's going to continue. I still don't know what the heck this backfield looks like between he and LeSean McCoy. Like,
I think LeSean McCoy is going to have a much bigger role than people anticipated. He's familiar with Andy Reid. He's still got a lot left in the tank. I think that Buffalo was just not a good spot for him to be. It was kind of like he was just running. He was like that video game player that runs against a brick wall all the time, never gains any ground, never goes anywhere. And that's kind of what LeSean McCoy was doing in Buffalo. And to get him out of there, to get him into an offense that's more opened up, there's a lot of opportunity for everyone on the field, really. I mean, Andy Reid does a great job of really opening up opportunity for everyone on the field. He's an offensive mastermind, and I think that he's going to have a bigger role in that offense, and that in turn is going to hurt Damian Williams' fantasy value going forward.
Yep, I can't disagree with you. I don't know what is going to happen there, and I still don't feel confident with that backfield. I still don't want to spend the money to go play either one of those guys. I just don't know, but I'm willing to say for week one at least, I got this one wrong. So
yeah,
that was probably my biggest miss of week one. All right, so
we all miss.
I mean, yeah, we're not going to get everything right, even though I was pretty close in
you
week
were
one.
Pretty
I'm just
close.
Gonna say. All right, guys, that was what we got right and what we got wrong in week one. We're going to move into our recurring segment here, Stash or Trash for week two. If you're new here, let us remind you, a stash is a guy that we're looking to pay for, and a trash is a guy that we're looking to move on from. You have $50,000 to play with on DraftKings, so your average player is going to work out to about $5,500. So our stashes are going to be guys that fall underneath that price point, and our trashes will oftentimes be guys that fall above that. We're looking for below about 11% of our total budget. So keep that in mind. I'll go ahead and start, Mitch, if that's okay with you this week, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, go for it, man.
My spoiler alert, my stashes, both of them, play for the same organization. They are both Oakland Raiders. So my first stash is going to actually be Josh Jacobs, $4,700 on DraftKings, or 9.4% of your total budget. Listen, this dude balled out.
Yeah.
This guy is an absolute superstar in the making. Like, absolutely had a crazy week one. He was 23 for 85 yards and 2 touchdowns. He caught one ball for 28 yards. Dude, he's so good. They're playing the Chiefs this coming week. The Chiefs just allowed Leonard Fournette to rush for 5.1 yards per rush, and that's Leonard Fournette, who I would chalk as a less than talented option when it comes between he and Josh Jacobs. The Chiefs were a team we talked about last week as not having an incredible defense. It's one of these teams with a really good offense. They're going to put a lot of points on the board, but their defense is somewhat lacking. And so when we're looking at a guy like Josh Jacobs, who is A, super talented, B, looks to be a focal point in John Gruden's offense, and C, when they get onto the goal line, Josh Jacobs is getting the ball. Derek Carr is not going to be throwing the ball on goal line situations. Josh Jacobs is just going to absolutely punch that thing in. This price point is just downright disrespectful for a guy that of this caliber.
Yeah, the guy was outstanding. 23 for 85 and 2 touchdowns last week, including a 28-yard reception. Me and Dallin were talking about it earlier last night, and he just played with a confidence like he's been there before, like he's a vet. I think this also comes with the low mileage he had in college. He's ready to be a workhorse back, and he wasn't that at Alabama. Now he gets to be that in Oakland, and so he has his confidence. And for a guy with his talent, confidence is always just going to soar you through the roof. And playing against a very bad Kansas City Chiefs defense that's never going to stop you, just slow you down enough to outscore you. This is a great matchup. I love this stash.
Yeah. So also another thing about Josh Jacobs in college, he was not, the stereotypical workhorse type of running back where you wanted him because of his legs. He was an okay runner, but where he really thrived at Alabama was in the passing game.
Right.
He caught
right.
balls at an incredible clip. So I think that's an aspect of Josh Jacobs' game that we haven't even seen yet. That's still going to be coming up. So that's another added benefit to his fantasy game. Also, one more thing to note on Josh Jacobs. This is a play that's going to be chalk for week two.
Wow.
Josh Jacobs is going to be in a lot of lineups. And here's why. This is a pretty obvious miss on price point when it comes to DraftKings. So when you're looking through and you're looking through those lower tier running backs to try and save some money, Josh Jacobs stands out like a sore thumb. So this is going to be a really common play for week two. I would not be surprised to see a really high ownership percentage. So keep that in mind when you're building your lineups, if that's something you're trying to avoid or something you want to kind of play around, if high ownership is something you want to avoid. Know that Josh Jacobs is probably going to be a chalk play just because of how incredibly cheap he is and how incredibly talented he is.
Oh, yeah, definitely, 100%. Let's go into – you okay over there?
Yeah, sorry, I just died a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got the black lung pop?
Whew. All right, I'm good.
All right, let's go. Here we go. You know, typically when you talk about stashes, I don't think tight ends come up in the conversation too much. I think typically you look at wide receivers or running backs. And this week we have two tight ends in our stashes. Spoiler alert.
Heck yeah, we do.
And I'm going to lead it off with the first tight end, and I'm going to go to my boy, the mailman, Mark Andrews.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, the big time stash this week, $3,800 on DraftKings. That comes out to 7.6% of your total budget. The mailman delivers. You want your mail in the rain? He's gonna bring it to you. You want it in the blistering heat? He's gonna bring it to you. You want it in a snowstorm? Guess what? Mark Andrews is gonna walk out of his mail truck, bring your mail right to your front door. He delivers. Like we said, 8 for 108 and a touchdown. By the way, he's received 8 targets in the first week. All of last year, he had 51 targets, so he's already almost at 20% of his total targets from last year. I don't think that this is a fluke thing. I think this is going to be a trend. And like we talked about, his matchups this week, his matchup this week is favorable, playing against Arizona, and he's got favorable matchups coming up in the coming weeks. So Mark Andrews is going to be a guy that I definitely want to add on the cheap. For my DFS, wow, I'm struggling.
We'll get there.
Lineup.
There we go. Right. There it is. Had to punch it through at the end there, but we made it happen.
Punch it in like Josh Jacobs, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's a perfect analogy. Yeah. Hey, you've convinced me on Mark Andrews, dude. Week two, I have pivoted, and I have put Mark Andrews in every single one of the lineups that I'm submitting.
He's the truth, dude.
I'm so on board. The Baltimore offense has decided they want to pass the ball. All of a sudden, not bad for a running back.
But here's the thing. I don't buy in to the fact, like, they didn't even throw the ball that much. Lamar Jackson had 20 attempts on the whole game.
Did you see how many yards he threw for, though?
On 20 attempts.
That's true. Lamar Jackson also didn't play the entire game.
Well, and then Robert Griffin III only threw 6 attempts. So 26 total. That's still far less than the times they ran the ball.
That's like a 90% uptick from what they threw last year. Well, that's all I'm saying.
When you run the ball 2,000 times in a game.
Right. Sure. That's all I'm saying. I mean, they're just throwing the ball, period. Like, whether it be at a ridiculously high clip or whether it be slightly better than what they were, they're at least
They're pushing the ball down the field. Mark Andrews averaged 13.5 yards per reception last weekend. So, they decided they're going to throw the ball. I wouldn't totally buy into the throwing the ball thing because there's still so much hype about the run game. But I think if they're going to throw the ball, there's really two guys that stand out to me on that lineup. That is Mark Andrews and then Marquise Brown.
Yep.
So just stay leery of that a little bit, but 100% buy into Mark Andrews.
Yep. Love it. I'll go ahead and go to my second guy since you alluded to the second tight end. And my other Oakland Raider is going to be Darren Waller versus the Chiefs again. He's only $3,300 on DraftKings or 6.6% of your total lineup. First of all, that's ridiculous. That's like insanely, insanely, insanely low. That's lower than Mark Andrews even, which is nuts. A lot of people have been kind of talking about who Darren Waller is going to be for the long term. Like, what type of player are we talking about? You want to predict who Darren Waller is in John Gruden's offense? It's Jared Cook.
Oh, it is.
100%. It's Jared Cook from last season. Jared Cook was a great fantasy asset in John Gruden's offense at the tight end position last year. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that John Gruden's offense likes to run through the tight end. That's going to change a little bit now because of Josh Jacobs. I don't know how you have Josh Jacobs and not just run him into the ground, but the tight end's still going to be a focal point of John Gruden's offense, and so that makes Darren Waller a stable fantasy commodity at a position that's notoriously inconsistent when we're talking about tight ends. His line was super good week one. He was 7 for 70 on 8 targets on Monday night. That's just solid, tacking on the board 14 points. That's solid. It's everything you can ask for. Here's the other thing. He played 100% of the offensive snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Never came out of the game. He was in every single play. Darren Waller looked good. This is one case where hype lived up to itself on the field. And he's playing that Chiefs team again that we talked about. Their defense is bad. Their air defense is worse. So there's going to be a lot of air balls thrown here. Derek Carr, though I don't love him, is going to throw the ball to Darren Waller a lot in week two. I will gladly pay 6.6% of my total lineup to slide Darren Waller in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, an incredible value for a very good tight end that's going to have a high volume. Volume is going to be a word on this podcast you probably hear a lot. And volume is key. It's paramount. It's one of the principles of picking a fantasy player week to week. And so Darren Waller is going to be all of that.
And he's the rare type of guy that doesn't need a touchdown. I mean, DraftKings is a PPR format. Darren Waller gets peppered with targets from Derek Carr. Like, the dude just soaks up targets. And so he's a consistent option. He's going to be pretty safe week to week. $3,300 is ridiculous. Both of these Raider players, matter of fact, every Raider is criminally lowly priced.
Yeah, Tyrell Williams, another one, criminally lowly priced.
Very low, very low. So watch out for Raiders. Again, I think Darren Waller might be more chalk than not when it comes to week two, which seems weird because he's an under-the-radar type guy. But DFS players are pretty savvy. When they see a guy of this caliber for this cheap, it turns into chalk pretty quick. So watch out. Again, same thing I said with Josh Jacobs. If you're worried about ownership percentage, maybe think twice before clicking on Darren Waller. But if that's something you're not worried about and you just want a cheap option to spend money somewhere else, Darren Waller is a really good option for week two.
Absolutely. Definitely. Let's go to my last stash, and I think it's not a sexy pick. It's not a sexy pick as a stash. I'm going with Matt Breida. He's got a good matchup against the Bengals, pretty bad team. Holding Seattle to 21 or whatever they held this last week is not indicative of their defense. Seattle's offense was sputtering at times. Matt Breida also gets a big bump. He gets a huge bump with Tevin Coleman being gone. And it looked like Tevin Coleman was going to be the lead back. With him being out and only Raheem Mostert behind him, or what the fantasy footballers call him, Colonel Mustard?
Colonel Mustard.
Colonel Mustard. This is going to be the lead back here. Week two against the Bengals, $5,200 on DraftKings, 10.4% of your total budget. Now, that might that might scare you a little bit to spend almost 11% on a guy, with the type of volume he's going to get, I believe he's going to get in this matchup, I think it might be worth it. This might be a 20 plus carry guy this week, if all the cards fall right.
Yeah, that passing game for San Francisco did not look great. I mean, nothing looked great for San Francisco.
No.
But a bunch of those San Francisco wide receivers, people are really excited about. All of them busted for the most part. George Kittle had a touchdown or two called back. That was unfortunate. But I see a game script where they have to start running the ball more just because they fall into this passing slump like they did in week one. And who knows, that could very well give Matt Breida 20 carries like you were saying.
San Francisco seems like the team that's really going to focus on ball control. When you don't have the weapons to really push the ball down the field like that, they have to control the ball longer, eat up more clock, so there's less time the ball is in the opponent's hand. It seems like a team that's going to be able to want to do that. And I think Matt Breida is going to be the beneficiary of that, getting the bunch of touches on the ground.
It's so weird, too, because I feel like San Francisco is a team that could move the ball down the field.
Sure.
And quickly at that. They got receivers who are just blazing fast, and a quarterback who we thought prior to the last couple of games could throw a pretty good deep ball without turning it over. But they just haven't been able to put it together yet. I think it will get figured out, and I think this offense will become a little more dynamic here. But until we see it, I like investing in the running game, and that Bengals team is a defense that can definitely be taken advantage of. So I like the pick, Mitch.
Thanks.
Love it.
Thanks, man.
Let's go ahead and look at our trashes for week two now. And I have a controversial one as my first trash. And I feel like Mitch is going to get a little bit angry, so we'll see what happens when I say this name. Sammy Watkins.
You shut your mouth.
Sammy Watkins versus the Raiders is my first trash for week two. $7,200 on DraftKings or 14.4% of your total lineup budget. He definitely is feeling that week one price bump on DraftKings, which, I mean, rightfully so. The stat line was incredible. He was 9 for 198 yards and 3 touchdowns. That is godlike fantasy numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The dude exploded. He was crazy. If you played him, you won, period. It doesn't matter who else was in your lineup. You could have probably just started Sammy Watkins in some leagues and been okay. That's probably not true. But Sammy Watkins was crazy. Here, I don't have a ton of really good fantasy analysis for you, Mitch. Here's the best thing I can say. You ready? What would be the more of a Sammy Watkins move than to just blow up in week one, get the price bump on DraftKings, have everybody invest in Sammy Watkins? The hype for Sammy Watkins from Monday up until Sunday is crazy. Everybody buys in. And then game time starts, and Sammy Watkins just totally disappears, and all we get is Mecole Hardman.
Okay.
It'd be the most Sammy Watkins thing ever. So that's really what I'm going off of, is just my past distaste for Sammy Watkins. I don't believe that this is going to be a super consistent reoccurring thing. I understand with Tyreek Hill gone, the game script for Sammy Watkins looks really good. On paper, Sammy Watkins looks like a solid, consistent fantasy option. But for $7,200 on DraftKings, it's hard for me to completely buy in after seeing 1 week of crazy production. Because honestly, my bold call of the week is that Sammy Watkins is going to do much less in week two, and this is going to be the big Mecole Hardman game. That's my bold take of the week. If this happens, I am going to take the victory lap of all victory laps. But that's where I'm at. I think Mecole Hardman is the guy you want in week two, not Sammy Watkins.
I think you couldn't be more wrong.
You and probably everybody else.
13 targets, Jordan. 13 targets. That was with Tyreek Hill on the field. Travis Kelce on the field. 13 targets.
You don't have to convince me he was crazy good. He was insane. He was absolutely crazy,
insanely
good. He was
clearly Pat Mahomes' primary target.
Yep, 100%. I agree with you.
And all of a sudden, you think it's going to be Mecole Hardman.
I think Sammy Watkins
just
is
flip
going
on a switch like
I
that.
Think Sammy Watkins is going to pull a Sammy Watkins and just kind of disappear. Here's also why I think that offense is so good and Patrick Mahomes is so good that it doesn't really matter the guy. He can make anybody really good and fantasy relevant. Kind of like the Aaron Rodgers effect, where Aaron, it doesn't really matter what receiver he has. He can make X, Y, or Z guy absolutely just blow up any given week. Like, I don't think Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a particularly explosive, crazy, talented receiver. He's good. He's in the NFL. But I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have games this year where he makes MVS look like Antonio Brown. Like, I think there are just some quarterbacks in the NFL that can make their guys look really good. And I think Mecole Hardman is really good. I think he's a really good receiver. So I need to see it more before I totally buy into the Sammy Watkins hype. I could see a reality where the hype is overblown. He just doesn't live up to it in week two. And who knows, it could be somebody else. So that's where I'm at here.
To each their own,
I suppose.
I suppose. I don't feel like I even have to argue that, because you'll be wrong. You'll be wrong.
There's a great chance I am. There's a great chance I am, and I'm sure everybody with headphones that have functioning ears are yelling at me right now as they hear me say this. But that's why I'm saying, hey, listen, if this happens, I'm taking a massive victory lap. I'm just calling my shot now.
In fact, I really hope you're wrong, because I'm starting Sammy Watkins in my Dynasty League. So
there you go.
I really hope you're wrong.
There you go. We'll
see. Yeah. So my first trash is going to be Adam Thielen. Who's he playing next week? I can't even remember.
The Vikings have Green Bay.
Green Bay, that's right. Green Bay's secondary looked really good, right, against Chicago. Now, Chicago's offense was very underwhelming, had a very rough first week. But we got to remember that he's still playing opposite of Stephon Diggs.
This is true.
And last week, Adam Thielen, 3 for 43. The touchdown is what saved it. Other than that, he's putting up a very disappointing week. I just don't like the play of Adam Thielen right now. He's $7,100, 14.2% of your budget that's on DraftKings. It's just way too high of a budget for a guy to have a high-volume receiver on the other side, who's also a deep threat and also playing against a very good secondary. I'm not buying the Adam Thielen thing.
So let me ask you this. Stephon Diggs is coming in only $6,300, so that's an $800 savings there. Would you feel comfortable running out Stephon Diggs at that price tag, or are you off of both Vikings receivers for week two?
I would feel more comfortable running out Diggs purely based on the budget, because I think that if you save some money there, you can go spend it on another guy that's going to have a bigger week, or a potential for a higher week.
So you're not scared off of Diggs' lack of targets or production in week one at all when it comes to either Thielen's production or Stephon's, for that matter?
I'm sorry, reword? What was that again?
So Stephon Diggs was like not utilized at all in week one. Like, he had a horrible week. Adam Thielen was
had a bad week. So,
well, Adam Thielen still put up a pretty good week, but I'm asking, do you just dislike Adam Thielen even in spite of Stephon Diggs' rough week one?
Yes.
And then on the flip side, you still like Stephon Diggs, and you would slot him in the lineups, even though he had a rough week one.
Yeah, I would, because even then, Adam Thielen didn't have a very good first week if the touchdown didn't happen. So, I mean, that was really the saving grace, which we've seen a lot of fantasy players, right? The guys that you just depend on scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
And that saved his week. Adam Thielen's not necessarily a touchdown machine.
Yeah, he's usually a volume guy.
Yeah, you're banking on the high receptions, high targets, high yardage.
Right.
So that's where the thinking's coming from on Adam Thielen. So.
Yeah, I don't hate the pick. Green Bay's secondary is much improved. Their defense is improved as a whole, but their secondary is quite good. So, I agree. I think this could be a matchup where he kind of has a rough time getting open, if not getting the target shares that he needs to match up to that $7,100 price tag. And I do think Stephon Diggs bounces back. I mean, we've seen Stephon Diggs be too good for too long to kind of stay where he was in week one. So I agree with the Adam Thielen pick. I like him a little bit more than you do, but I can see where you're coming from with the trash.
Mm-hmm.
My second trash is going to be a guy that we actually trashed in week one as well. So we're just going to keep the train rolling with Todd Gurley versus the Saints. Still up there at $7,000 on DraftKings, 14% of your total budget. Listen, he was okay. He was fine. He rushed the ball 14 times for 97 yards. He had a reception for 4 yards. Not super relevant, but that's another point on the board. So, I mean, he was okay. He almost got to the 100 yards rushing. That's a benchmark that you want to hit as a running back. Here's the deal. Malcolm Brown came through and vultured 2 touchdowns on the goal line. Malcolm Brown also rushed the ball 11 times. And so we have 11 balls for Malcolm Brown. We have 14 rushes for Todd Gurley. That's pretty close as far as differential goes. And Malcolm Brown rushed for 53 yards. this was a very weird, not expected game script when it came to Todd Gurley's usage. What we were told now with our eyes are that the Rams are clearly determined to limit Gurley's carry total. They're far more focused on making sure Gurley stays healthy for the long run rather than running him into the ground and then not having him come playoff time. So McVay is obviously being very conscientious of this, and he's using Malcolm Brown as almost a 1A, 1B type deal. Todd Gurley still got the work when it came down to crunch time. He was obviously the guy, but I'm slightly concerned by Malcolm Brown's usage. Really, I didn't expect him to be in there that much at all. And I'm especially worried about the goal line usage. I mean, when they were down there on the goal line, Malcolm Brown was the guy they gave the ball to twice. There were multiple plays where we saw the Rams get a first down on offense, and then they just ran up to the line of scrimmage with Malcolm Brown still back there. Just no consideration for switching the guys out at all. It didn't seem like they were all too concerned with getting Todd Gurley back in the game. So all of those things combined, I'm still scared off of Todd Gurley at this $7,000 price point. Like, he's still too high for the Todd Gurley we are getting this season. This isn't the Todd Gurley of old. This is a new Todd Gurley, and we kind of need to adjust and kind of work our budgets in that realm rather than remembering the Todd Gurley of old. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The stat line the price is not, you know, doesn't justify the stat line.
Even, I mean, he's cheaper this week than he was last week. But if I told you you're getting 14 carries for 97 yards and one reception for 4 yards, do you want to spend $7,000 on that?
No.
No, you don't. So even if you're looking at what was an okay game for Todd Gurley, $7,000 is too much to spend. Go look somewhere else. And really, actually, a lot of those high-tier running backs for this week, I'm not super into for the main slate. I'm looking at Alvin Kamara and actually kind of moving on beyond that.
So, like, I'm on board with you 100%. I don't want anything to do with Todd Gurley in any format, any platform, anywhere. But could you understand someone's rationale for wanting to pay up for Todd Gurley and hope that that big game happens?
No, just because of the guys that are around him at the same price point.
Like, so, even if he has 14 touches again, but he breaks it off for 140.
Maybe. I feel like Todd Gurley is the type of guy where I'm okay being wrong on Todd Gurley. Like, if Todd Gurley breaks out, he breaks out. I'm just not going to have him. And that's kind of a pill I have to swallow. Mm-hmm. But the risk outweighs the potential rewards for me. I just don't want to eat the $7,000 goose egg when it comes to Todd Gurley. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he goes off for 100 and some odd yards with 2 touchdowns next week. Maybe, but I mean, give me Dalvin Cook instead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% on board with you. I was just exploring that route there.
No, totally. So I think, yeah, Todd Gurley's a trap again in week two. So let's look somewhere else.
I agree. My second trash is probably going to come as a surprise to some people. And I'm going with Marlon Mack. He had a fantastic week one. 25 for 174 and a touchdown. Why am I shuffling away from Marlon Mack? Let's look at his price here. When I get it pulled up, $5,800. 11.6% of your total budget on DraftKings. Not terrible. Not terrible. But here's the thing. Is he's getting ready to play a Titans defense that looked really good against a supposedly very good Browns offense. And I just don't want to buy into that. The usage thing, everything smells right for Marlon Mack. You see 25 touches and you're thinking, is this going to be a 250-touch guy now? Because he doesn't really have anyone behind him. And Nyheim Hines is a great change of pace, but, like, you know, does he have anyone really behind him that they could fully rely on week in, week out to take the carries when he's not on the field? Not really. I mean, Nyheim Hines is a great change of pace, but that's not a fully reliable guy. I just don't like the matchup. This is purely matchup-based for me. And again, in a PPR format, he had 0 targets, 0 receptions. So you're really banking on the fact that he's going to have a big rushing game again and get a touchdown, and I don't know if I really want to put all my laurels on that for spending over 11% of my budget.
No, Tennessee looked terrifying. So for a guy that you're relying to get heavy ground yardage and a needed touchdown, like, I just don't think you're getting it against that Tennessee defense that looked absolutely terrifying in week one.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Mitch. Marlon Mack or Damian Williams this week? They're $100 difference on DraftKings. Damian Williams is $100 cheaper. Which guy would you rather take a chance on?
Whew.
Those are two very similar guys for me.
Yeah, they are.
Like Marlon Mack is not in the same situation as Damian Williams, but that Tennessee defense might just take him out of a game.
God, you could flip a coin and just feel just as gross with him. Like you could feel gross with either one if you flip a coin. Slight edge to Mack.
Okay.
Slight edge to Mack.
Okay.
But I'm still not feeling confident about it.
Yeah, I think I actually like, even though I'm trashing him for this week, I think I actually like Damian Williams a little bit more just because of the passing opportunity that we saw in week one. I don't know. Again, I could be totally wrong, and Damian Williams could disappear. But that was just a random little question given their price point. They're right next to each other.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
All right, so those are our stash or trash for week two. I'll go over them one more time. My stashes were Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller. Mitch's were Mark Andrews and Matt Breida. My trashes for week two were Sammy Watkins and Todd Gurley. And Mitch's were Adam Thielen and Marlon Mack. That's going to transition us into our last segment for this week, Mitch, which is going to be our weekly head-to-head picks. If you guys are new here, we end every show with our head-to-head picks. Mitch and I play a head-to-head game on DraftKings, and the loser is going to get water dumped on them on Twitter. Make sure you go check us out at DoubleUpDFS if you want to see Mitch get wet from last week. But, Mitch, I'll go ahead and let you start. What lineup are you rolling up against me for week two?
So, let's start at the quarterback position. I am going with Mitchell Trubisky against Denver.
You homer.
I'm. You know what? You're going to really call me a homer when you see that I'm pulling a stack with this.
Okay.
So
love it.
I'm going with Mitchell Trubisky, $5,500 on DraftKings. He's facing the Denver defense that didn't look very good in week one. And I got faith in my boy. He's Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky. I'm also going with one of my stashes, which is Matt Breida. $5,200 on DraftKings, facing the Cincinnati Bengals. Love that. I'm going with Dalvin Cook against Green Bay.
Love it.
The front seven is completely different from the secondary in that defense. I do love Dalvin Cook in this matchup. $7,200, so you're going to have to spend up for him. But I think that this after a great week one that he had, I think he had, 29 points?
Yeah, he was in a lot of winning lineups for week one. So
I really like this matchup again against a pretty rough Green Bay front seven. I'm going Josh Gordon against Miami. I really like this one.
I like it. So here is my question, because I also stared down a lot of the Patriots players. There's going to be potentially 1,000 points scored. I think the entire spread of that game is counting on the Patriots scoring and not the Dolphins. So I looked at it, and I was trying to play the rock, paper, scissors game of which one of these guys are going to be the ones to score. Maybe it's all of them. I don't know. But you're resting on Josh Gordon, huh?
I am. Good week last week, 16.3 fantasy points. You can get him for a fairly decent price at $5,800. And he's looking like going to be one of Tom Brady's favorite targets. Of course, we know the speed and the hands. He's kind of got all the tools that a good wide receiver needs. We've just been waiting for him to clean up his act. And it sounds like he's doing a pretty good job at staying clean right now. And when he's clean, he's really good. So I like Josh Gordon this week against the worst team in NFL history, the Miami Dolphins. Following that, a little bit more pricey. We're going Cooper Kupp against the Saints. The fantasy output, I don't think, matched the performance that Cooper Kupp had, the impact that he had on that game. And I think he's going to have a big impact against the Saints this week at $6,000. That's not a value. $6,000 on DraftKings. Go ahead.
I mean, he was the most targeted asset on that Rams offense.
Yeah.
So Cooper Kupp is the guy that I have always liked the most out of all of them. I'm notorious for hating Brandon Cooks. Robert Woods is kind of a coin flip type of guy, like who's going to get the ball any given week between he and Cooper Kupp. But when Cooper Kupp is in the game, he seems like the guy that Jared Goff likes to throw the ball to. So, man, I'm so high on Cooper Kupp. I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, I do too. Really like it. Here's my homer stack. I'm going with Allen Robinson against Denver.
Yep.
$6,100 on DraftKings. Good week last week. Very good week last week. Over 100 yards receiving. I think he had 7 or 8 receptions. Looked great. Love the stack against a struggling Denver secondary. So give me all the Trubisky-Robinson stack. And then, you know, I got to roll with my boy, the mailman, Mark Andrews, at the tight end spot, $3,800 against a bad Arizona defense. Love it, love it, love it. I'm going with another stack here. I'm going to stack the tight end running back here, and I'm going to go with Mark Ingram in my flex, $6,000. Playing against, like I just said, a very bad Arizona defense. And he himself had a very, very good week one. So riding a little bit of a little recency bias and just hoping that he continues to play well. And my homerism continues by picking the Chicago Bears defense against the what looked to be an anemic Denver Broncos offense.
Yeah, the Bears looked really, really good. I think, I mean, that's a real strategy to try and narrow down on a couple of games and really line your lineup, for lack of a better term, with those few games to make sure you really get the fantasy assets from that. So,
right. Well, and we were just they were interviewing Aaron Rodgers after the game, after that Chicago Green Bay game.
Yeah.
And they, you know, of course, everyone's focusing on how the offenses on both sides didn't show up. They didn't. You know,
I think that's the wrong thing
out.
To focus on when it comes to that game.
And Aaron Rodgers said, we struggled on offense. We got some things we got to work on. But this Bears defense is going to cause a lot of people problems.
Yeah, I think both defenses were quite good. Like, I think it was far less. I mean, both offenses didn't look spectacular. Yeah, they did not perform up to par. But both defenses were very good. Very good. So, yeah. Like that Bears pick. Like it a lot. I'm gonna go ahead and preface my team here, Mitch, and I'm gonna rub it in a little bit. For those of you who listened last week, you heard when I said that I had $500 remaining on my remaining salary when I built my team. This week, Mitch, I have doubled that. I have $1,100 remaining here, and so I'm going to try and beat you, and not only beat you, I'm going to try and dunk on you this week.
I had $500 remaining on my budget.
There
this
you
week,
go.
So.
There you go. All right. So it's not as cool, but let it be known I've got $1,100 remaining.
You still doubled me again. So
yeah. So we'll see what happens here. I am going to keep it rolling with my Josh Allen, John Brown stack. I still like it this week. They're playing a Giants defense that just made Dak Prescott look like the greatest quarterback of all time. I still think it's entirely possible for Josh Allen to throw a couple of deep balls to his favorite target in John Brown. So I'm going to keep that stack rolling. Both are incredibly cheap for week two. When I go to the running back slot, I like to pay up for running back. And so I did so with my favorite option for week two in Alvin Kamara. I like him more than Saquon for week two. And actually, when it comes to running back, if you're not paying up for Alvin Kamara, I say you kind of look for those middle tier guys when it comes to week two. So Alvin Kamara is where I decided to spend a chunk of my money. My running back slot, besides Alvin Kamara, I went Josh Jacobs. He's way too cheap not to pick. He's going to be chalk for week two. So Josh Jacobs was an easy selection there to save a bunch of money. Wide receiver, I went Juju Smith-Schuster. Out of all of the elite wide receiver options, I like Juju Smith-Schuster's potential just game script the most. We look at DeAndre Hopkins, and he's lining up against Jalen Ramsey, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the guys who he has historically been able to cover pretty well. So I didn't really want to go the DeAndre Hopkins route. New Orleans is playing away outside, which is usually a bad thing for Drew Brees. So I didn't really want to touch Michael Thomas. And there were a couple of other guys in there that I didn't really feel great about. But Juju is in a pretty good spot for week two. And he's not the most expensive option. So I like Juju a lot. And that's actually where I saved quite a bit of money in not getting just the top, top tier wide receiver type guy. But mm-hmm. I think Juju is the type of guy who actually could break out and kind of break the slate when it comes to your lineups. I already said John Brown's in my other wide receiver slot. My third wide receiver, I'm really hammering this Oakland game. I went Tyrell Williams. All of these Oakland players are criminally underpriced. Tyrell was ultra targeted on Monday night. He looked like a very, very good wide receiver one. So I'm going to keep him rolling against that Kansas City defense. I'm not scared of it at all. And so I'll save some money at Tyrell Williams. Tight end, I'm with you. I went with the mailman, Mark Andrews. I said it at the beginning of the show. I'm all about Mark Andrews, dude. I cannot be told otherwise. The mailman is the truth. I would like to get my packages delivered on time, and I would like for my fantasy points to show up in my front door come Sunday.
Did you know if you tell Mark Andrews, like, the special request box, like, they want you to leave you a special message, Mark Andrews will leave you that special message?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
He'll do it every single time.
I wonder if he would draw me a picture of an elephant in a carousel.
I'm sure he would.
In a carousel? Riding a carousel.
You know what? That's a tough drawing, but I'm sure he would.
Dude, I don't even care. It could look like hieroglyphics.
He could draw you riding an elephant, riding a carousel.
Wow.
Guy's magic, man.
Dude, this is hard-hitting analysis. We don't even need to say stats for Mark Andrews anymore. We could just talk about Mark Andrews as a person in his character, and people would be like, good God, I need to go spend my money on him now.
He's probably the nicest guy on the face of the earth.
Has to be.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm taking Mark Andrews in my tight end slot. Flex, I'm flexing Austin Ekeler again. Ekeler looked electric in week one. Nothing is changing for week two. It's another plus matchup. They get Detroit, which their defense just didn't look like anything that anybody really needs to worry about. I was right on that call for about three quarters. I said Detroit's front seven was going to eat Kyler Murray. They did for three quarters, and then Kyler Murray decided he finally wanted to start playing football in the fourth quarter. So I think Austin Ekeler is going to be, for the most part, okay, especially because he catches quite a few passes. And so I spent my $6,100 there. In my defense slot, I am targeting those lowly Dolphins, dude. I went with the Patriots defense. Miami's going to turn the ball over. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to turn the ball over. It's going to happen. I would bet you this Patriots defense scores quite a few fantasy points, and they were only $3,700. So I had to target that Patriots-Miami game somewhere, and the defense is where I decided to do
it. You know, and this game might be a little bit of a trap to some people because, historically speaking, the Patriots don't play well in Miami.
Dolphins are what, 5-1?
In the last 6 years?
Yeah.
In Miami against the Pats? Like, yeah. Traditionally really bad, but this team is so terrible.
Not going to happen
this
here,
This is
guys.
Not going to happen again this time. This is the biggest lock of the week.
How do you feel about the other New England options? I almost decided to go with James White here initially.
I don't like any Patriot running back right now.
No kidding. Even in a plus-plus game script, Sony Michel's probably going to get the ball a ton, and James White could just break off.
I mean, against Miami, probably I do.
Right.
Against anyone else, I'm not super confident in it.
So would you target any of the other wide receivers then, or are you just kind of only
Julian
on...
Edelman, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just a Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman type situation.
I think you take a flyer on, like, N'Keal Harry.
Huh. Okay.
But other than that, I'm. This is the one exception week, I think, for me where I would seriously consider using a Patriots running back.
Even though James White is historically super safe for PPR purposes, still just not super into him?
I've never been super into him. So I think for me it's hard for me to buy into that 100%. Okay. And I'd rather take someone that I am going to buy into 100%, a guy like a Matt Breda,
yeah,
that I feel much more confident in, knowing he's going to be the workhorse.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, totally. This is a plus-plus matchup, guys. Target your Patriots. Put them in your lineup. This is going to be a bloodbath. Or who knows, maybe the Dolphins will beat them and the world will lose. Could you imagine if the Dolphins walk in there and just take it again? Just go 6-1 the last 7 years in this historically bad Dolphins team,
you know,
just rolls them.
Brian Flores was a Patriots coordinator. I believe he's the defensive coordinator.
There's a cute story there.
So it's a snowball's chance and you know where. So maybe, but it's highly unlikely.
Yep.
Highly unlikely.
Yep. I would say so. It's going to be a bloodbath. All right, y'all. Hey, that's all we got for you this week. That was our head-to-head picks. Again, I want to remind you to go follow us on Twitter at DoubleUpDFS to see who wins the head-to-head picks and the head-to-head matchup for week two. One of us is getting wet from week one. Spoiler alert, it's Mitch. We're going to go do it right now, so go over there, give us a follow, and check out that video. And then again, wherever you're listening to this podcast, be it Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you're listening, please go subscribe, download the episodes, and leave us a review. We'd greatly appreciate you for it. Mitch, you got anything as we close?
No, I'm going to go put my swim trunks on. I'm about to get wet. So.
Yeah, baby. All right, y'all. Thanks for checking in. We love you. Bye-bye.
See ya.